Meet Sven.
Yeah.
He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that PokerStars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day.
Yeah!
Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's September 11th, 2009, and you're listening to the original, the best, the one-of-a-kind PokerCast, the best PokerCast on the planet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long. Wow, did we get a little extra money in the budget there? We could afford some adjectives this month, this week?
I'm feeling good today, even though I say it's September 11th. It's actually September 10th. We always do it a day early. And it's my birthday. And I got a nice little...
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. I got a nice little birthday present really early. Last night, I final tabled in apes, broke my cherry, and I cashed.
Oh, that's nasty.
And I finished 8th. So it was... It was nice to finally do well, but that's really all I'm going to say about it. I was eliminated by Poker Geek MN, who really got hit in the head with the deck. He admitted himself. He was just like, wow, I got lucky tonight. And But I stayed up all night thinking that you were asleep. And it ended at 1:25 a.m. last night, and he dueled.
It's an early for an ape. It really is.
Yeah. Well, you know, a split game, too, could... You know, you just never know how long it's going to go.
Yeah.
But he dueled Gap Band 85, heads up for a while.
Yeah, it did go on for a while. It was a good heads up match.
And denying Gap Band yet another banana. the guy's unstoppable, it seems. You know, what was funny was somewhere along the line when they were literally like 40 chips apart from each other. It was unbelievable. I said... Hey, why don't I go get my handsaw and we'll just cut up this banana? And then Reef 300, who finished third, he's like, hey, that would be a banana split. And everybody started laughing.
Reef made a funny.
But eventually, Poker Geek wore him down. On the last hand, Scott, and I guess you watched it, so.
Yeah.
The last hand, he makes a royal flush to beat Kings full of sixes to win the title.
This has got to be like the most amazing final hand of apes ever.
Oh, man. I had actually won a tournament once. It was a 18-player sit and go with a royal flush on the end once. And I was like, wow, you never see that. And then boom, there you go. Royal flush over. I mean, that's a bad beat right there. They should win like a couple hundred grand for that.
Well, and the funnier thing, too, is Gap Band, he actually didn't get his boat until the river, but he also had the nut low draw on the flop, too, and missed that, too. I mean, man, can you imagine that? You know, like, hey, maybe I'll get the nut low and I'll split it, and then, hey, I boated up, awesome, I'll take the whole thing, and then, whoops, guess not.
Oh, man,
wow,
that was funny.
Wow. Well, I tell you, you know what I liked most about apes last night?
What's that?
Is even the fact that, you know, I finished 56th, I went out to... Hef Mike, who took me out of this event last year. Of course, last year I finished second.
Yes.
A little different. But if I couldn't win, the best thing that could happen is for you to final table this thing and have to go through the misery of actually participating in this tournament as long as you did. And I took great, great joy in watching you have to suffer through this entire tournament and win your... $20 or $14 or whatever it was that you took out of this thing.
Yeah, $15. And you know, it wasn't that it was torturous so much as it was just, you know, annoying. You know, I literally only played like 5 hands all night. You know, I mean, I scooped like 3 pots, and you'll be happy to know that I knocked out Hef Mike for you. And the funny thing was, I knew when I was in the big blind, he was going to raise because he constantly raised my big blind, and I looked down at. Ace, like Queen 10 or something, and one of the aces was suited. And I said, "All right, go ahead, raise me this time," because I knew he'd be all in if he did. Sure enough, he does, and he turns over like ace nine, you know, crap. And he hits a nine. I'm like, oh, that's all right. I still got aces. And then he hits another nine, and I'm like, oh my god. And, but of course, I hit a one outer to knock him out. And I was like, there's some sweet justice there, baby.
One outer, awesome.
One outer to knock him out. But congratulations to Poker Geek MN. Really, he played well, and when you get, you know, a player doing well and getting hit in the face of the deck, you know, it's hard to stop him. And congratulations, he did really well. He deserves it, and we're happy for him. And I can't believe it. That literally makes 3 out of 4 Apes 08 events I've cashed in, and I final table twice, and I can't stand the game.
It's about time for you to give a little love to the game, man, I think.
I'm giving a little love to the Put fact that it, you know, it gives me some, you know, some money. But other than that, you know, I just, you know, and people mistake, too, the fact that when I say I hate the game, it doesn't mean I don't know how to play it. I just don't like it, you know?
Yeah,
but
right.
But it was fun, and, you know, our next event is going to be fun, too. I think this starts my little rally now, because my favorite things are coming up now. Raz is the next event, and
yeah, then Heads Up, and then Badoogie, and then we'll finish with Horse.
And Horse. So, I mean, I'm feeling pretty good. Maybe I can rally it like I did last year and try to make it so that I don't actually pay any money into this thing. But I got $10 back, so.
Excellent, excellent. Well, the next event is Raz on October 7th. The free roll is Wednesday, September 23rd. And tune in next week for our power tips
power
for Raz. And in the meantime, Poker Geek, please send us your address so we can send out that beautiful banana and monkey, and encourage you to send us a photo with that unsplitting banana trophy so we can publish in the magazine.
Yeah, you know, I asked the final table last night. I was like, hey, guys, promise to send me, you know, your photo with the monkey and the banana. And only one guy said he would, and that was Reef, and he got knocked out. So Poker Geek better come through.
Maybe I'll just send it to Reef then. But, you know, Chris, you know I play almost always Omaha 8. That's all I play anymore, right?
Yeah.
And you think I would have seen this particular situation at some time previous, but I can't remember ever doing this. I was playing a couple nights ago. 4 players, including me, had ace deuce in their hand. And the wheel got there. And some schmuck had a 6. So he fleeced the rest of the 3 of us for the high or the higher straight. But
oh my god.
But all 4 of us had ace deuce in our hand.
Wow.
And the low got there.
Well, now let me ask you, was it being pumped? I mean, were you guys like 1, 2, 3, 4 betting it and stuff, or were you guys smart enough to not do that?
I'm glad you asked that, because I think in a lot of games you would be seeing that happen. I think, at least by the way the action is going, I could tell that the 4 of us knew what we were doing and knew that you can't be betting just your low.
Yeah.
And none of us really were confident with our highs, obviously, because I don't think anybody had anything until that river that made the wheel and then made the other guy the 6 high straight. And even on the river, though, there was just a bet and everybody called. There wasn't even any raising then.
Oh, my God.
We all realized that what might be happening, though I don't think any of us thought that all 4 of us had ace deuce. quarter. What is that, like 16th or whatever? I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But I think it was amazing that all 4 of us had it, amazing that all 4 of us got the wheel, and then amazing that all 4 of us, that there wasn't at least one idiot that went crazy betting it. crazy game.
I know, when you ask, have you ever seen this, to me, it's like, you know, it's asking a blind mouse, you know. I mean, it's like I don't even play the game, so for me to have seen it, that would, you know, that's never going to happen, but... Wow, ace deuce with everyone holding it. That's insane. And the wheel gets there. Oh, my God. No, I've never seen that. But, you know, speaking of missing things, I have to tell you, I'm leaving the business.
Really?
I've got a new career.
Wow.
Well, at least
twist.
It's a potential career. It's not truly a career.
Insurance adjuster?
No, here it is. I'm watching Poker After Dark this week, the cash games.
Right.
And, you know, in the old...
Hey, let me stop you right here, buddy. Watching poker on TV is not a career.
Damn! Okay? All right, let's move on to the next
thing. You've been angling for that for a while, but I'm just going to nip it in the bud here.
All right, let's move on to the next thing then. Forget it. You blew my car. That's what I want to do. No, really. So remember, I think we talked to Maury and that time. I'm not sure if we brought it up then or if it was during like the after discussion when we weren't taping. But you know, we talked about the prop bets that they used to do on high stakes poker, and how one season it got really just crazy, and they were like, you know what, people can't even follow the action. It seems like you guys aren't even really there to play poker. You're just there to do the props, so we're going to cancel props, no more props on the show. And they did the same thing with Poker After Dark. They weren't letting them do them, but for this cash game this week, they've been doing the prop bets, and Ivy's got the little sheet and the paper and stuff. So I think that there's a new career for me out there. You know, when I watch them, when I watch them do these prop bets, you realize that you have to call your prop if you hit it when they, like, let's say they're playing, you know, okay, I've got red and you've got black on the flop. And if while you're playing, if two red cards come up and you don't say, I see it, there's my prop, or something of that nature, that they don't have to pay you for the prop on that hand.
Awesome.
So I'm thinking to myself, all right, Ivy, how many thousands of dollars have you lost by not recognizing your prop? Or literally during one of the hands, Tom Dwan loses 10 grand on a prop because he doesn't spot it, because he's so intent on winning the hand itself that he lost 10 grand on a prop. So I'm thinking, okay, pay me minimum wage, give me the piece of paper and the pen, and give me 10% of any prop that you would have missed that I found for you. So, like, he lost
prop
10 grand.
Finder's fee.
Exactly. Exactly. He lost 10 grand, but he could have just paid me, like, $8 an hour to sit there, and then I would have gotten $1,000 for that, and he would have gotten 9 grand for me saying, "Dur, there's two black clubs, you know, two clubs. That's your prop. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, there you go. There's $1,000 from me right there." That's my career.
Until Tom gets a penalty for one man, one hand.
Yeah, but that... Because
he got this little chirper in his ear going, hey!
All right, well, how about this? How about I just keep track of all prop bets, and they give me like 3 grand a week.
Or, no, better yet, what you need to have is all these players need to have mules. And obviously, you could be a mule because this is your idea. But you guys are like off in another little area.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's up to the mules to spot the prop bet.
Yes.
And so you're kind of like a caddy.
Yes.
That's what you need to do.
Exactly. Really, I don't care how you do it. Just give me the money.
Right, right, right. Okay. All right, cool. Now we're on to something, I think.
Well, anyway, I just had this vision of, you know, if the magazine ever collapses and the poker cast goes under, maybe I'll just be Phil Ivey's mule.
Awesome. Well, you know, I'll give you another career opportunity in case that doesn't work out.
All right.
And obviously, you know, the magazine's going to survive. And if not, obviously, this prop bet thing you got going on is a can't-miss home run. So you're probably not going to need a second backup. But in case you do, I'm going to nominate you for Orlando Sentinel editorial writer.
I could do it.
I know you could do it. You could certainly do better than whoever the Yahoo is over there that wrote one this week. And, you know, I've gotten a little kind of like a kids get off my lawn kind of sharp since I quit the newspaper biz.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because when you're in the middle of the biz, you kind of understand how things go. But when you're just a reader, you're like, arg!
Arg.
That's wrong! Oh my God, who wrote this? You know, and particularly lately, because you know, we had the compact signed here in Florida last week or 2 weeks ago. And so now all of a sudden, you know, the editorial boards around the state are kind of looking at it, scrutinizing it, and sharing their opinion. And for the most part, they're all kind of real lukewarm milquetoast. I don't think anybody really understands this. Of course, they don't understand as much as those of us who, you know, live and breathe it. But But I chuckled and arged over this line from the Orlando Sentinel in their editorial this week. It said, quote, and of course, Mr. Crist in this quote is our governor, Charlie Crist.
Right, right.
Quote, we're troubled because Mr. Crist's rationale for it is about as genuine as a poker player bluffing an inside straight while holding just a pair of threes.
That's so wrong on so many levels.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. Oh, my God,
bluffing
that is so
bad. Bluffing an inside straight? I mean, this is is what I'm guessing, you know, with the poker game at the Orlando Sentinel editorial boardroom must be like. Oh, you caught me. I was bluffing my inside straight. I guess my four card straight's not going to work. Take down the pod, jeez. I can't bluff. What the hell? What does that mean?
You know, that reminds me of like a 39-year-old guy who, you know, wears his shorts down to his past his knees with his underwear showing, trying to be cool. You know, it's like,
exactly.
You don't understand what you're writing about. You don't need to try to relate to us by writing. You know, just write the facts, man.
I mean, I could, you know, I bet the next pot of poker that I play with these idiots that what happened is one of them goes, "Hey, we're writing about poker. We need to have a cool, hip way of saying something." And they went to some kind of pokerglossary.com or something. They're like, ooh, inside straight, that sounds cool. And, of course, bluffing, yeah. And then, oh, what's a weak hand? Oh, yeah, pair of threes. All right, cool. That's what we're going to do.
Not get them all in one sentence.
Exactly. Like poker jambalaya here. And, oh, my God.
Oh, man, that is just the saddest sentence ever written in the history of Florida newspapers. God, unbelievable.
Inside straight while holding just a pair of threes. Ugh. You know, and this is the kind of leadership we have from our newspapers in the state now. Jeez, please.
That is hilarious. Well, you know, go ahead. No, you finish it up. You finish it up.
No, I was just going to say, a couple people that I know never bluff an inside straight while holding a pair of threes are our good friends Tom Turley and Lee Childs. And they both got a little love on ESPN this week, and I'll let you pick it up because you're our TV correspondent.
Well, you know, I'm watching, and I'm like, all right. Now, last week I said, well, we're never going to see our patch on TV on day two because we left day two, and, you know, the players that we knew who had our patch were way outside. But I was proven wrong, so I was like, okay, well, this week I know we're never going to see anybody we know. There's just no chance, you know. Right in the opening thing. Right in the opening, you know, when you see the herd of cattle walking up toward the main Amazon room for day two. And I'm like, wow, look at all those people. Out of the left-hand corner of the screen comes Tom, I sent you guys a pizza Turley. And his head comes right into the left-hand of the screen. He goes, all the way, baby! And he makes the opening credits of the show. I was like, oh, my God, there's Turley. And, like, you can see, like, the corner of the U and the P on the patch that he's wearing for us. And I'm like, yeah, baby, we made it. So then halfway through the show, one of Lee Child's students or friends, I don't know which it was, but he had his Acumen Poker stuff all over him. And Lee's standing there behind him watching him play, and he's playing against this female pro, and she shoves all in with aces, and he contemplates for a while with jacks, and then he calls and loses, which I was hoping he'd fold, but he didn't. And, you know, later on I could hear him teasing her too, like, you know, oh, be good to my chips and all this other stuff or whatever, you know. But there was Lee standing right behind him, and it just made me reflect a little bit. And I know we tend to do this every once in a while on the show, but really, it's so amazing to me when I think about how long ago we started the show, started the PokerCast, and by the way, we did call it a PokerCast since day one. But it's just, you know, we started as two dorks. We're still dorks, but, you know, back then we didn't know what we were doing. And now we have guys who listen to the show with their own poker companies, making final tables at World Series, being on TV, wearing our patch, and it's just, I don't know, it made me all warm and fuzzy inside seeing those guys on TV.
Oh, good, because you're warm and fuzzy on the outside, too. So I'm just warm and fuzzy everywhere. So.
Well, I am a mammal. I mean, you know, mammals are warm and fuzzy. So, well, anyway, it was just cool to watch them on TV and see those guys on there and just reflect back on our 4.5 years of doing the show and the magazine.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick, before we move on, I just want to get my requisite quick mention of the Antia Poker Cruise 2. One more time, March 25th to 29th on Royal Caribbean's Grandeur of the Seas. Sounds so uppity.
It is uppity.
I like it. I'm sure Kate Winslet will be on there for me.
I'll never let go, Scott.
Exactly. Prices start at $479 per person. Call Mary Kolb at 727-733-3498. That's 727-733-3498. And in the next couple weeks, we are going to put together a survey on the cruise for those of for people that went on the first one, and also for people who haven't gone on one yet, but kind of want to let us know what it would take to get them on, because, you know, we're planning on doing this at least a couple times a year, if not more.
Yeah, and, you know, it was a lot of fun, and I'm hoping that people... Because, you know, it did surprise me that, really, there, other than our friends, there was really only one NEUP PokerCast listener on the ship.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it surprised me because I think that when we first started the show, everyone's like, you guys got to do a cruise, you guys got to do a cruise. And we made it as cheap as humanly possible, but only one person showed up. So I'm hoping, you know, this next one we'll get a lot of the NEUP podcast, PokerCast guys together and, you know, maybe have a little home game with them, you know. But I'm looking forward to the next one.
Cool, cool. And if you want to take that survey, it will be in our one of our weekly e-newsletters, which you can sign up for at antiupmagazine.com/subscribe. And we'll also post a link in the forum at antiupmagazine.com/forum.
All right, well, let's see what's on the NEUP news desk this week.
Yeah, let's see. all right, Chris, Face the Ace, the widely panned poker show that airs in primetime on NBC, returns on Saturday, retooled to get the audience more active in the action and to feature other subtle changes.
I wonder what retooled means there.
Retooled never. Retooled is always code for, yeah, we know this sucks, so we're going to just do a bunch of stuff and hope that it doesn't suck.
Well, I'll be interested to see what it looks like because, yeah, the first ones were just a debacle. So, I'm assuming it's not going to make it anyway, but we'll see.
We'll see. The Morongo Band of Mission Indians this week postponed their efforts to legalize online poker in California, saying it's time to work out differences with the Indian tribes who oppose the effort. This comes from the Desert News. Another setback.
Another setback, but that's all right. You know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
And finally, two poker room employees at Planet Hollywood have been arrested on multiple charges after police say a security camera caught them forging a high hand jackpot and pocketing $400 from KTNV TV reports.
Well, you know, this is hilarious. First of all, I just want to give a shout out to our chubby reporter out in Vegas, Big Dave, who used to be Big Dave from Ohio. He alerted us to this item and. But, I mean, are you serious? Really? You're going to give up your entire job and your freedom over $400? Really? Really? Unbelievable, dude. You got to be kidding. And I often wondered if this stuff happened or not, just because, you know, I mean, how hard is it really to get away with this? Apparently it's difficult, but, I mean, really, you would think that people might be trying this because, you know, you never know. You know, you may get a good interview with an employee, but you never really know who you're hiring until you have them there for a while.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But it's just, I can't believe it. Over $400, these guys are going to jail, and they lost their jobs, and they'll never get another job like this again.
Well,
idiots.
Here's the thing that cracks me up is there any place in the United States that has more security cameras than a casino?
I know. And in Vegas, no less.
It boggles my mind that these people think that they can outwit all 9,000 cameras that are on them wherever they are in the casino.
And, you know, the NGC is so freaking strict out there, too. These guys are going to get just penalized to the fullest extent of the law for whatever they did. They're idiots.
Boy, yeah, I know Poker Room's going to hire them. I mean, when you and I, we did a little tour of the state, and one of the Poker Room managers actually took us into the security camera room.
Yeah.
Which was amazing, extremely high-tech. And, you know, this isn't like Bobby Joe and Bubba from Mayberry watching these cameras. These were trained security professionals, and they were showing us some, like, you know, they had a little DVD of the worst offenders.
Yeah.
And there were stuff where he's like, all right, now watch what happens here.
Yeah.
And I was watching, and I couldn't see it. And he's like, did you see that? And I'm like, see what? And they'd slow down, like, watch your hands. I'm like, wow! And to think that you can put one past these people is just amazing. I mean, obviously, some people, I'm not going to be foolish enough to say that people aren't putting stuff past, but this is not a you know, high percentage takedown here. You know, trying to steal in a poker room.
Yeah.
You know?
That's just,
unless your name is George Clooney and you're bringing 10 of your buddies with you. It's just not a good place to be robbing or stealing a place with all these cameras.
You know, that was probably the problem, too. They probably were all drunk one night watching reruns of the damn movies, and they're like, hey, if they could do it on Ocean's 11, we can get $400 out of this, man.
That's crazy. Well, we'll be certainly watching that story to see what amazingly appropriate punishment these yahoos get.
Well, you know, this story that's we're going to talk about now on the hotline, it just won't die. It just won't go away, man. But if you call our hotline at 813-448-1120, particularly with a new topic, we will probably give you something really cool from our swag show. But Ed from Redlands calls in and talks again about playing with two decks in the home game.
Yeah, I think we're going to call the hotline now the two-deck story. No longer be called hotline because no one else calls the hotline with anything other than our continuing saga of as the two decks turns.
I mean, appropriately, it's a hot topic for the hotline. I mean, everybody wants to talk about it. But I think this is it. This is the what do they call it, the moratorium or whatever the hell they. So we're gonna end it here, I think. But this one's pretty good.
Out here, what we do at our weekly home game is we have a designated dealer, and that person deals all the time, and whoever's the button is the shuffler, and they're the ones that have the cards that shuffle for the next hand, and the designated dealer just deals. We find that makes things move a lot easier. You just give, for a tournament, you give the dealer a discount and you just rotate dealers, and every week someone different deals. So that's just something to think about.
See, this is what I was talking about, Chris, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
Designated dealer.
Yes. Now, let me ask you this. Now,
so they still have a guy shuffling, which kind of defeats the whole purpose, I think. But
yeah, but let me ask you, though, when he says that the guy gets a discount, what do you think he means by that? I don't understand what he meant by that. Like, he doesn't have to put in enough, as much money as everybody else, like,
yeah,
for, like,
you know,
the snacks? Or does he get to, like, only bet half the amount but get paid the full amount when he's playing in the hand? I don't know what that meant, but it is smart to have a designated dealer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's not really practical, I don't think. We've talked about this in home games, too. I mean, obviously, you could have the dealer sit out for the hand they deal. That's probably more practical than having somebody just not play at all that week, because that's kind of brutal, I think. But, whatever makes your game work. And, like I said, I'm not a big fan of the two decks. So,
well, I think the idea of someone else shuffling is cool only because, you get a mechanic in your game who's a designated dealer and you're screwed. So,
well, that's true, yeah. If Worm comes to my home game, I'd be like, that's all right. I'm going to let you play it today. I'll sit out this rotation. I'll take the card, buddy.
Well, what's he win?
He wins a tremendously popular $10 staking package from our good folks at getastake.com. So, Ed, send us your email at podcast@antiupmagazine.com. We'll get that off to Craig and get you set up for your staking package. And the good news is you don't have to deal online.
I really thought last night when I made the final table that I would get a staking package or something.
Yeah.
I felt so good about it. But I'm happy with my $15. Hey, why don't you reach into the mailbag and pull something out, will you?
All right, I'm going to reach all the way up to the great state of Tennessee.
Cool.
And our good friend Brian up there. And this is one that I know is going to get my co-host feathers in a ruffle. I'm just going to guess. But let me read it real quick here. This is from Brian from Tennessee. And he says he plays in a $20 buy-in tournament weekly. This last week, something weird happened. He says they know everybody in the game. He knows some of them better than others. But he was in two separate hands with the same two guys who know each other pretty well. And both times after the flop, one would raise, and after Brian folded, they would look at each other and say, "Check it down?" Now, he says that they did this with another guy prior to all this with him, so he doesn't think that they're picking on just him. But after the second time, he said something to these guys, and one of them said back, "If they're heads up with me, they would ask me to check it down, so what's the big deal?" The other guy said, "It speeds the game up." Oh. Now, he says he's never heard of tournaments allowing two players to verbally ask another player to check it down at the flop, and it kind of rubbed him the wrong way because they just couldn't understand how this could affect my play when I'm in the hand with the two of them. He says even though he makes money from this game, he's thinking of quitting it, but he wants to know, Chris, is he overreacting?
Absolutely not.
I figured as much.
This is just 100% crap. This is 100% collusion, and it's crap. And these guys know it's wrong, and they're trying to take advantage of you. And by saying, it's just speeding up the game, and trying to put pressure on you to say, maybe we should put speed up the game because everyone else seems to be okay with this. But No way. This is bull. They're allowed to talk to each other. And I've even heard people say, you know, you want to check it down. And the guy's like, yeah, but if only if they started out heads up kind of thing. But if they're forcing you out of a hand and then checking it down, oh, there is no way that is tolerated. And it has to be obliterated from this game or you do need to leave.
Yes. I love the part where he gets all upset.
I mean, come on, can you imagine if we did that in our game?
Totally agree with you. This is just wrong on so many levels.
Lance would, like, find a new place to put the cards on my anatomy if I ever said, hey, Scott, let's check it down now that Faso's out. He would kill me. No way. That is just, that is unethical. I do now know the difference between legality and ethics, and that was unethical.
Well, you know, and he's talking about quitting the game, and I think that part might be a little overreacting unless you can actually, you know, I would probably try to get everybody together and say, you know, hey, I'm not trying to be a dork here, but, you know, this just is not accepted anywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I understand maybe you think it speeds up the game, but it's just, it's not in the true competitiveness of the game. And if they say, screw you, then I'll quit and go somewhere else. But, you know, I would take this opportunity to kind of teach these people. Because maybe these guys, I mean, it sounds to me like they know what they're doing and they're just trying to get them off. But maybe they don't. Maybe it's harmless to them. And if enough people say, hey, this is wrong, that maybe it'll change. And then, you know, then you've solved a problem, which is better than quitting and leaving the problem for somebody else to solve.
Absolutely. Well, you know, to ease his pain, we're going to send him a Chinese Year of the Animal card protector from poker-pig.com. So all we need is for you to send us, Brian, your birth year and your address, and we will get that off to you to help you. Maybe you can, like, take the animal protector and try to intimidate these guys, stop them from doing it.
Yeah, there we go. You know. Or maybe you end up being the year of the rat, and then they'll get upset because you're a rat. Ratting them out on the ante of poker.
The year of the narc. Well, last week in the one-minute mystery, it was part eight, and we open raised with a 10 of hearts and a 10 of diamonds. We were in mid-position, and we had another player who was in the hand with us before call us on our right. We flopped top set, and then we turned quads.
And he
Never in my life! But he wants to know, you know, what's the best way to get some chips from the opponent? And you take it from there.
All right, my initial post in the vault before I was influenced by other folks is to bet big like you're scared. You know, here's the thing with quads. The deck is crippled, generally speaking.
Yeah.
And you're really only going to get paid off if somebody boats up or already has a boat or off of a bluff or if they think you're bluffing.
Right.
So, I mean, while I could see a case for checking and hoping this guy bluffs at you and be able to get some chips, I kind of like to be preemptive and kind of overbet, like, you know, I'm the one bluffing and hoping that they'll call down that bluff. You know, either way, generally speaking, you're not going to get much money out of people anyhow, so that's the way I'm going to do it.
Well, young grasshopper, I like your way of thinking. Actually, I prefer to do this with, you know, with trips or a set. Especially if the guy raised and I, you know, was set mining or something. But when I got quads like this, and you admitted yourself the deck is crippled, and I know it seems pretty ABC to check again, unless I had a really strong feeling that this guy had a small set and then filled up with my 10, I'm gonna check one more time. Just try to let him hit his boat on the end. You know, you never know what's going to come on the river. Maybe he makes something else that he feels strong enough. And then I do the move that you said, where I overbet or try to make it like I'm bluffing. I need to go one more street. I can't do it now on the turn. I just can't. I can't have quads and overbet right now. Next street maybe, but that's how I feel. I'd have to wait one more street, give him one more card, hoping that it gave him something he couldn't give up, and then I would do my either big bet or my big Hollywood or something. I don't know.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, on the forum, we had only one poster from Rant, and he said he would check the turn to induce a bluff or let his opponent catch up. And, you know, I can't fault that either, and that's what you're looking to do. I think it's either or, though. I don't think there's really much else you could do here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, well, let's see what happens, and then we'll hear part 9.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and welcome to episode 9 of Ride Along with Columbo. If you recall our last episode, our fortunes had turned, and we had the opportunity to get back in the race when we made quads. But best of all, we are now able to take advantage of our earlier play, a luxury I did not anticipate. Do you remember that Queen Jack suited hand? The one in episode 4, where I made a horrible river call with Jax and wasted 640 chips? Well, that just turned into an investment. This is going to play out just like our other hand, and he's going to shove on me here with almost any holding, I suspect, if I check. So I do. Sure enough, he shoves and puts me all in, and I call. He flips over, ace-queen. For the first time since our early set, we have a healthy chip stack, and the timing could not be better, as the level just went to 120, 240, and the antes have begun. It's the very next hand in our opponent that we sent a message to in Episode 7, limps again from under the gun with his 8600 stack. It folds to me in mid-position. Okay, as Burt Reynolds said in The Longest Yard, well, it worked once. With position and precedent, I could do this with a wide range of hands. This time it's legitimate, with king-queen off. I raise to 960 and it folds around to the limper, who this time calls. The flop is 5 of hearts, 7 of spades, 9 of diamonds, and he checks. I do not like this board. There are a lot of speculative hands that this board may have hit. I check behind. The turn is the 7 of clubs, making a pair of 7s on the board, and he checks again. The pot is 2,500. Are you going to check? Are you going to make a bet? And if so, how much and why?
Remember Sven, our friendly Poker Stars Porsche dealer? Sven's still very excited. He already knows that Poker Stars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem 5 Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that 5 of our Poker Stars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
You know, one of the great things about starting a magazine and, of course, doing this PokerCast is we get to meet all kinds of people from all walks of life in the poker world. And every once in a while, we're privileged to get to know someone who is basically a trendsetter or a trailblazer. And that's what our guest is today, Lauren Fiella, the founder of High Heels Poker Tour, right here in Florida. And, of course, her tour is not limited to Florida, but that's where she is. So we're glad she's joining us today. Lauren, thanks for taking some time to visit with the Antiup Nation.
Hello, boys.
So, really, what is the High Heels Tour? Let us know.
Well, High Heels Poker Tour is a national poker tour where we work with casinos all around the country to bring women's poker to the forefront of the poker community. And we do tournaments, live tournaments all over the country. And we also have the only ladies poker academy in the country, High Heels Poker Tour Academy. And we provide all kinds of services for women, not only poker, but lifestyle services. And we also try to create, you know, a nice synergy between women in the poker community, which will in turn then grow the poker community because women talk.
So now, would I have to put on my favorite red pumps and my A-line skirt to be able to come to, like, your academy, or can anybody come?
Please say no, Lauren.
You specifically?
Yeah.
Or... I would love to see that one.
No, no. Just, like, men in general. Because obviously, you know, it's mostly for women, but, I mean, you're teaching some really good things in your academy. If a guy wanted to go, could he go?
To the academy, yes. You know, it's really interesting because we get asked that all the time. You know, why have you tried to basically segregate women and, you know, and everything? And I look at it as not a segregation. I look at it as a segue because women in general are such a small percentage of the poker community as a whole that in order to bring more women to the game and segue them into mainstream events, a lot of women like to start where they feel most comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's where we sort of come in. Now, it's most of the time, I would say 90% of the time, it's up to the venue that we're in, you know, the casino that we're in, whether or not they'll allow men. You know, I'm not going to turn anyone away because it's not my venue or it's not my property and or it's not my casino.
Right.
But we can, you know, we generally would like to keep it you know, the way that it was started and in the integrity of which it is. I mean, you know, nobody's going to, you know, people have tried to go into the WSOP ladies events in the World Series and, you know, they were discouraged upon doing it. And it's just something that's, you know, a way for bringing more women to the game by creating this group or the synergy. And, you know, you don't try to exclude anyone, but, you know, people have to understand that in order to bring about change, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
oh, go ahead.
No, it's fine. That's it. I'll shut up.
Well, Lauren, I got to ask you this, because anytime we have a woman pro on the show, we always ask them kind of the cliche question, why aren't more women playing poker? And generally speaking, the answer always says they need more people like or events like the High Heels Poker Tour out there. So I know you can't say that because you obviously started the High Heels Poker Tour and believe that, but outside of the High Heels Poker Tour, what else can we be doing to get more women interested?
Well, and I think also you have to understand I have a different perspective because not only do I own the company, but I'm also a player. So I understand both sides of the coin. In fact, that's how High Heels Poker Tour was started, playing in a poker tournament at Seminole Classic, which I'm sure both of you know the venue.
Right. Yep.
I played there all the time. That's my home casino. And I was sitting next to a girlfriend of mine, Murda, and we were talking about, you know, how come, you know, not a lot of women play. And she said, you know, someone should really do that. And I thought to myself, well, I could do that. And so basically that's how it started. And so, you know, to get more women to the game, like I said before, you need to start somewhere. So by starting, you know, in this avenue and then, you know, sort of piggybacking on that is really a way. I mean, in addition to that, we also started on our website, we also have a connections page where women who participate with High Heels Poker Tour or any woman who's a poker player that would like to go ahead and advertise their business, their women-owned business, we put them up on the site for free. And we do that to create this, you know, women-to-women business connection. And I think that, you know, that's also a way to bring more women to the game is, you know, like I said before, women talk. And so it's really hard because we're such a small percentage of the poker community, again, not to reiterate, but because we are, you have to be able to use those connections to bring more women out. You know, we go into a lot of second and third tier markets specifically to bring those women that don't get those opportunities to play in those events in some of the bigger properties that they don't have access to because of time or travel or, you know, just geographically. It's not desirable for them. So we try to do that and bring those, go to those smaller venues to bring the 10, 15, 20 women at a time and bring them into the fold and then produce these events so that that they have this opportunity to play and then to segue and mainstream themselves into the bigger poker community on a whole.
Now that you've been around the country a lot with your tour and stuff, and are there areas now where you feel like you're making a lot more headway than other places? Are there more, like when you are, I'm going to Vegas this month with the tour and wow, there's so many more women playing poker here. Is there one area in particular that's doing better than others?
You know, I can't say yes or no. The thing I can say is that, you know, you're always going to have a bigger group, a larger group of women where there are bigger properties. You know, like the Beau Rivage, you have a bigger property. It attracts more people because of the nature that it's a bigger property to begin with. But I have seen an increase in, you know, the Midwest and in Colorado and in New Orleans, for example, even though they do have you know, Harrah's New Orleans is a big property, and they have other properties around the state. They do seem to attract a lot of players from, let's say, Texas. And I know that Texas is currently working on trying to bring on gaming into that state because, you know, it's such a huge contingent of poker players from Texas, which I'm sure you've seen as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think that wherever there's not poker, there seems to be a huge contingent of poker players from those particular areas. And they don't mind traveling to the closer properties that they can access easily. So I think that, you know, maybe starting in the, you know, the little bit farther east, like you get Indiana is starting to get much bigger than it was. Even down here, obviously, it's been getting much bigger over the past, I would say, like – 3-4 years. So I just think that, you know, in order to keep it going, you know, you need to venture into those areas that do have, but they're not really doing a lot for women or doing a lot for poker altogether. But I do see an increase, yeah. Awesome. And in some of those states like Louisiana and Indiana, you know, Colorado.
Chris and I have both been to your events. We haven't participated because we're guys and we respect you, but we've been there, so we know what to expect, and you guys have a crazy good time at these things. So, but tell the folks that are listening that haven't been to them what they can expect if they show up at one of your events.
Well, I'll tell you what we try to create is beyond just the relationships that naturally happen because, you know, women hanging out with other women and stuff. But we also try to give back a little, you know, try to give some incentive to the players. Not only when we're coming out and discussing the information with the properties to try to get them as much as they can or the best chip counts and the best buy-in for the amount of money, you know, the value, because women are always looking for value. And that's a big part of really growing the business is making sure that you're up on the needs and the wants of the women who play with you and the women who are coming in. And so we do a lot. I mean, we have a lot of corporate sponsors and we give a lot of product away. You know, her energy drink, we always have it out. It's a really good energy drink. Poker Stars, obviously, we give away a lot of merchandise from Poker Stars. PMS Pokerware that has, you know, pokerware not only for women, but as well as for men and also people in the gay and lesbian community. We give away a lot of stuff. And I think, you know, I think that just creates that added value for the women that they like. And we like to have a good time. And so, you know, it's always upbeat. You're very, very rarely will you see, you know, the butting of heads. It's just a nicer environment, and every tournament director I've ever dealt with has always said, boy, it's so nice and quiet, and it's such a nice environment. And you know, it does have a tendency to be that way. But I think also it depends on the people, you know, us here at High Heels Poker Tour. I mean, myself and Tina and Lise Adams, who's my partner in the academy, we always try to have a good time and make it as upbeat as possible. We take a lot of pictures of the ladies, so we put them up on the website because they like to see themselves. You know, we put the standings out there. We put all the results from all the events, and they like that information because it gives them that, you know, 5 minutes of fame, or it gives them a little bit more than they would have gotten in that recognition that they play and that they know what they're doing.
Now, you guys have obviously gone around the country and played in events. Where can you tell our listeners where you've been, where you're going, and basically where you'd like to go as well?
Personally, as a player, or through the company?
Well, both. I'm assuming here we're talking about the tour still. So, where has the tour visited? What casinos has it been to? And where are you going soon? And then where would you like the tour to go?
Well, we've been to Mohegan in Connecticut, Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. We've been to Turning Stone in New York. We've been to, obviously, Harrah's New Orleans, all the properties, basically all the properties in the state of Florida, Indiana. You know, we're all over the place. And this year, just between now and the end of the year, I'm reading off my little calendar on my wall.
Well, you've been to Vegas, too. You've been to Vegas.
Yes, and Hard Rock in Vegas so graciously accepted us, and we had a great event there, and we did a two-day academy there with 6 poker pros, which was amazing, that we're going to repeat again this year, right before the ladies' event of the World Series. But from now until the end of the year, this weekend we're at Dania High Lie in Dania, Florida. Then we are at the Silks at Tampa Bay Downs for our Battle of the Sexes event, which is going to be an amazing event. It's men and women, 2 separate tournaments, and then the last 5 players from each tournament will come together to battle it out to see you know, which is it, a man or a woman, and you know, it's just going to be a fun event, and part of the proceeds goes to raising money for breast cancer, since October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and both men and women do get breast cancer. So we're doing something like that, and that's on the 10th of October. Then we're doing a charity event for the Israeli Defense Forces to raise money for the troops in Israel, and that's October 17th at the Trump International in Miami. And then After that, we are in the Jacksonville Kennel Club, St. John's. It's the St. John's property, right. And that's November 1st. And we're at the Canadian Poker Expo for 2 days. We are the exclusive ladies tour of the Canadian Poker Expo, and so that's going to be a good time. And then we're in New Orleans, and then in January we're doing a cruise, and then we'll be in the Bahamas.
Man.
Yeah, that's just till December. I mean, that's till just till January. And then, you know, in 2010, we'll be in the Beau Rivage, and we will also be at Binion's for two events.
That's awesome.
Wow, very good. Now, what's the process like when you try to get into a new venue? Are some of them more challenging to get into the others, or is it usually pretty easy?
You know, it's funny. The ones that you think that are going to be easy to get into are sometimes the hardest ones to get into. And it really is just dependent upon the, you know, now because of the economy and the way it is, even though according to some sources today on Good Morning America, they said the recession's over, but I still don't believe it. You know, because of the economy and the way it is right now, it's a lot harder because a lot of these properties take us in under a marketing standpoint and they look at it from a marketing point of view. And some properties take us in, you know, just under the poker itself. So it really just depends, but it is a little bit more difficult. You know, we have a really good relationship with Harrah's and the WSOP, so it's not as hard as it used to be. And, you know, obviously in the state of Florida and New York, we generally don't have any problems. You know, we're working with Indiana right now. So, and again, you know, in Las Vegas. So it's just seriously dependent upon how they want to put us in there. If we go through marketing, sometimes it's a little more difficult because of budgets. But if they bring us in through poker, sometimes it's a little bit easier. And it's also dependent upon it there again, the tournament directors and what they want to see. But I don't see how anyone in today's market can turn business away. So, you know, I mean, we're bringing people in, which of course then means that they're playing, they're staying, and they're eating. So for a lot of venues, it's true. You know, when you go to these venues, and that's really where, that's how they have to look at it. Is it a value for them?
Are you still seeing any sexism out there, or less of it now, or never at all?
Well, no. I mean, I definitely know that it does exist. I mean, I've experienced it. You know, look, I'm a woman in a male-dominated business. So, you know, you have to really be on your game, and you have to know what you're talking about. I do a lot of research, not only on women's poker, but on trends and things. And so, you know, you do have to do a lot of convincing. But we bring a lot to the table, so it works itself out. But there is still some. It's just dependent on who you talk to.
All right, well, Lauren, we know you're really busy, so we'll let you go. But we want to first talk to you about your PokerStars sponsorship, which we obviously can appreciate. How's that going for you? And to wrap it up, where would you like to see your tour go as far as, you know, the future holds?
Well, the PokerStars sponsorship was something that I'm very proud of, because PokerStars being, you know, the largest poker site in the world, and we have our sponsorship with PokerStars.net, and, you know, basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to create this whole synergy between the online poker market and the live market, and, you know, to get people to go to practice what they learn and come into the live events and play, and you know, everybody, you know, they can play for free on PokerStars.net, and you know, it's a really good opportunity for us. It's obviously it's a good opportunity for them to get information and to find out what people want, and we look forward to a really long relationship with them. They've been amazing to us, and we're very excited about to see where where we go with it in the future. But it's going to be a really good partnership/sponsorship, and it's a great thing, and we look forward to it. So, you know, anyone out there who's wanting to get on PokerStars.net and play for free, you know, just you can send us an email. We'll send you the code at info@highheelspokertour.com. It's an amazing opportunity for everybody, and, you know, we really look forward to it, and we thank them very much for everything they've done for us.
All right, Lauren, well, thanks so much for taking the time to visit with us today. You know, you're always always welcome on the show, and, of course, we love your column every month in our magazine. So thanks for taking the time, and hope everything goes fantastic for you.
Well, I thank you guys very much because, you know, honestly, without you guys, you know, helping us and standing behind women in poker, you know, it really gives us a good opportunity to get the word out there. And I appreciate that you let me write for you, even though, you know, I'm not the best writer in the world, but I do what I can. So, but I definitely want to continue to contribute. So,
thanks, Lauren.
Thank you. Thanks, okay.
Guys. Thanks, Lauren.
Talk to you
Take
later.
Care.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Hi, this is Team Poker Stars Pro Vanessa Russo, and you're listening to the Ante Up PokerCast. You gotta fight!
Once again, Chris, we welcome General Lee Childs to the show for Hand of the Week. Lee, how's it going?
It's going well, my corporals.
See, he totally missed the Dukes of Hazzard reference there. Oh, and he's from Virginia, too. Man.
Oh, man.
Alexandria, no less. Oh, man. All right, once again, folks, Lee made it all the way to the World Series main event final table a couple years ago. Founder, and lead instructor of AcumenPoker.net and one of the new Lock Poker Pros and the new rock star of Ante Up. People, our hand of the week of volume has gone up tremendously since Lee has been picking them apart. So we thank you for coming back once again, Lee, and keeping Ante Up in business.
No problem. It's fun to do.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to the day when it's like, you know, Lee Childs, all this stuff, and then it's like, and Chris Cosenza. And that's all it is. It's like, you know, Lee's got all these accolades there, and Chris Cosenza. I'm just going to go back to bed. You guys take care of the hand of the week.
Is it they say at the beginning of the show, like two guys who think they know how to play poker,
exactly.
And you just have like, and one guy who does.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, very good.
Exactly. but, you know, let's just move on.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Do you a little... Abbott and Costello there, guys. There,
I have a feeling I'm just going to totally botch this hand now.
Hey, don't worry. Get used to it, Lee. Trust me. Okay. All right. This one comes from not very far from Ante Up headquarters, Chris. It comes from a guy who's playing over at the Seminole Hard Rock in Tampa.
Wow.
Probably one of our magazine readers who has joined the Ante Up podcast nation. Scott Watson. He calls himself Odds Man. Kind of like that. Maybe he plays craps. I like when our hand of the week submitters are honest up front. And he says, I admit that I played this poorly. So he's begging us, Chris and Lee, to be brutally honest in our analysis. So don't soft play Scott here.
All right.
Of course, for those of you who are familiar with Florida's wacky wacky laws, he sits down in a brand new game, which means he can only buy in for $100. Everybody else table can only buy in for $100. Here in the cutoff seat, very first hand dealt to this brand new table, he looks down at two beautiful black queens. All right, now, Lee, I know you haven't played down here in Florida much, but I'm going to ask Chris here, how exciting is that to sit down at a brand new table and get a premium hand in pretty good position?
You know, it's always my favorite thing, too. I love it. You know what I mean? I love sitting down at a new table. It's my favorite thing.
It doesn't happen often either, you know, unless you get there right when it opens. You know, for the most part, you're sitting down and, you know, there's weird stacks here in Florida. You know, you got your little $100 bow and arrow up against these $1,000 tanks around the table. So,
yeah.
All right, so we have one limper, and then someone raises it to $12. And, of course, it comes to us on the cutoff with our black queens. Somebody start us off here.
Shove.
You know, and I'm only half laughing because it's probably not a bad idea.
Shove. If you figure if you made it 12 and you're going to make it 3x that, you're going to make it 36. It's almost 50% of your stack anyway, and you're going to be there all day at $100 buy-in, so you might as well just shove. It's true. Shove.
Yeah, oh, I think that's pretty much the standard play down there right now, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's you're really limited in what you can do. I mean, 1-2 is the only one you have some actual play in the game at all. Shoving's not bad there. I mean, it's, you know, I know you're both laughing, and like you said, you kind of only have joking, whatever, but yeah, I mean, you can raise it up to 35, 36, or you could just go ahead and put the chips in. I think either way is fine.
All right, Scott, well, thanks for sending us your hand of the week. Here's that's how you should have played it. Doesn't matter what you did now, so here's your gift.
Oh, man. All right. This is great. See, this is why I like doing these Florida hands, because people just don't really understand what Florida poker is like.
Yeah.
Until you really get an example of just how crazy it is down here. and the situation you're in here. You guys are totally right.
So here, I'm, you know, just to be a little more serious with it, I actually prefer just the raise here. I don't want to get into the mentality of just shoving every time I have a big pair, because your laws are going to change, and you don't want to just have that being in your mind that every time you get queens or jacks or kings, you're just going to instantly shove.
Right.
You know, because I think that's there's a lot of poker pros I know that are pretty excited about the laws changing down there, because people do have this shove mentality and are willing to go broke with one pair pretty often. So because you just kind of have to sometimes, the way it is right now. So I prefer the raise. I mean, if you shove, then you might get a pair lower than yours to fold. I would raise, and then I wouldn't fold to a re-raise, because you can't just assume they have aces or kings. But I like the raise here, because you're more likely to get a mistake out of a lesser pair, or maybe even like a weak ace or something like that. So I'd raise to 35, 36 bucks here.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Cool.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's cool. That's what I would do too, probably. I was half-heartedly saying shove, but yeah, I would make it like 40 or so. So.
All right. Well, sorry, kids, because Scott here is a disciple of the Scott Long School of Poker, and he is just going to call here. So go ahead, vilify us both.
Wow.
Bring it on.
Well, it's the first hand, and you got queens. I mean, you don't know how these guys play at all. A call. It's, you know, when I call like that, I pretty much know how someone's going to play and how they're going to react to things. If I'm just sitting down with them with the first hand and I'm calling, and then I have no information on them or how or the hand or anything, I feel like that's a mistake.
Yeah, and you're really running the risk of getting into a multi-way pot with your queens. You're taking a lot of value away from your queens in this spot.
Yeah.
You know, you got a couple of people that have already limped. The one guy raises. If you just call, you're going to more likely induce other people to call. You know, you don't want to be in a 4-5-6-way pot with queens and then be forced to play it for set value. So I definitely would raise here.
Okay. Well, he called. The button and blinds call, but the limpers fold. So the pot now is 43 bucks, going to the flop of 4 of diamonds, 7 of spades, 8 of clubs. All right. The blinds check to the initial raiser, who puts 35 bucks into this pot, and we are next to act.
Jeez. I mean, you don't have that much money left anyway. Right? I mean,
we have 88 left. Because remember, we just called.
Well, I mean, if you call the raise. I mean, if you just call the raise, you only have like 50 left or whatever. So,
how many people are in this pot? 4 or 5?
Let's see. We got the 2 blinds.
It's got to be 4 because it's 43 in the pot.
Those other guys. I can't believe those other guys got out of the way. they put in 5 and then don't put in another 7. I mean, it's not a great flop for us, you know, and this is why, I mean, because we're in a multi-way pot, you know, I mean, there's the small pair, suited connectors, somebody easily could have us beat, but, you know, I think calling is kind of the worst thing here. I'm either just going to put my chips in or fold, and I think I'm probably just going to put them in here. No one showed any real strength if I ran into the set. I lose my first 100 and go on, but
yeah.
But I mean, typically when you get into a multi-way pot like this, that's the thing. I'm just this is the problem with playing deep, not playing deep stacked either. Normally, I would want to get away from this, but since we're playing with such shallow stacks, I'm probably going to take the risk now. But you know, again, he should have raised to begin with. If he raised to begin with and got this flop, I'm certainly getting my chips in on this board. I'm actually probably getting my chips in on any board, because I think the range of the opponents, even with an ace or a king out there, I would go ahead and put them in, because I think the opponent has just such a wide range. I'm not going to be scared that they just add an ace or a king. So this is kind of a weird spot because I'm kind of I told you I might botch this hand after saying I'm going to upset play. This is why you need to raise to begin with, is to avoid situations like this. I don't like this flop for queens in a four-way pot.
Yeah.
At least it's a rainbow board, but...
Yeah. I mean, it's the innate problem with hand of the week. When you disagree with their first move, then you're just constantly backtracking and saying, you shouldn't have done this, shouldn't even be in this spot.
Right.
You know, okay, so then you have to keep adjusting to what they did. So, yeah. I mean, I would shove here.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Just go ahead and put it in. These guys have checked out of the blinds. The other guy could be c-betting with just about anything, so.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and move it in.
I'd move it in.
All right. Well, our hero decides to call here. The button and blinds get out of the way. So I believe we're heads up now. For a turn of 10 of spades. So again, that board is 4 of diamonds, 7 of spades, 8 of clubs, 10 of spades. And now, the initial raise we made to 12 pre-flop and bet out 35 on the flop just checks to us. We have $53 left. Probably not a lot of mystery here, but let's pretend there is.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, that 10 feels like a horrible card for us, though. Feels like we were ahead to the 10K, believe it or not, but I don't know. I'm just guessing. Why would he check now when there's so much money in the pot and he's only got $50 left? So it feels like that 10's a terrible card, but I can't get away from this hand now. Especially after he just called.
I think I could argue checking here. I actually like checking here.
Yeah,
because I think either that card was good for him or he didn't like the card, so he may just be giving up. So if you're ahead, then it's one of these situations. You're probably way ahead or way behind now. So it's, again, it's try not to backtrack too much, but you've already put in $47 of your initial 100. I think it's fine to go ahead and check here and then see what the river brings and what he bets, because if you are behind, he may not even bet. He may try to just get value out of you and try to, just bet like 20 right. bucks on the river or something.
Yeah.
Right. And then you save that, you'd save the $33 if you are beat. And that's a significant portion of your stack. Sure, in relation to the pot now, it's not that much, but I like checking behind here because of the fact that you're either way ahead of him or way behind him.
Yeah, did I say I would shove?
Yeah. No, did you?
Oh, I guess I did. I don't know what I was thinking. I would. And I'm thinking, if I'm actually at the table, I would have checked. I don't know why I said I would shove. Not because Lee said it, but I'm thinking that if I'm at the table, yeah, I probably would have checked there and been thankful
to really,
take the pot.
Yeah,
down.
There's no advantage to really betting here.
Yeah,
I don't think.
I don't know what I was thinking when I said that. I guess I was thinking that the guy bet. I was thinking when you said 35 that he bet 35 and I would shove because I'd only have 15 left. I thought that's what you said, but I must have been it because there's no way I bet there. I'm only getting called or raised by a better hand.
I believe you, because you did say you felt like the 10 was bad for you.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like he bet 35 when the 10 came, not checked. I wasn't know what I was thinking. But yeah, I definitely check behind there, because I'm only going to get called or raised by a better hand there, I think. So
yeah.
I definitely check on the turn.
All right, well, our hero is consistently disagreeing with you. He jams for his last $53. The villain calls, turns over. 10 of clubs, 10 of hearts.
Yeah, I knew it. That's exactly what I thought happened.
You
happened.
Knew it!
That's exactly
just
what I thought
it.
Happened. Yeah. That's why I say it was a bad card. I feel like he had overs. That's why he bet out and then hit his set on the turn and checked to get him to induce a bluff or a bet. So, yeah, I definitely would check the turn.
The river comes, the ace of clubs does not help us. And like all proud Floridian poker players, we reach into our wallet and peel off another $100, I'm sure, and start this all over again.
Well, wait a minute. Before you say anything else, I have a question. And it's funny that the ace came, because I was going to ask Lee, now, if we checked and an ace came on the river and then the guy shoves, would you have laid it down for 50 bucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, if the ace comes and then he shoves, then, yeah, I mean, it's you're only beating a bluff there.
Yeah.
But on the other side of that, notice that if he'd have checked behind, the ace would have come, and the two tens very likely would have
right.
checked. I think. Trying to get, you know, induce, or, you know, he's not going to think that you had pocket aces the way you played it.
Yeah.
But he still might have checked to you, and then that's a very easy card for you to check.
Yeah.
Or if he bets, he's probably is going to make that smaller bet. So, you know, and that's kind of hindsight as far as, like, seeing how much, you know, knowing how much it would be. But if he jams for the rest of my other $53 once the ace comes, then, yeah, I'd fold the queens there.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's what I was going to ask. If an ace didn't come, I was going to ask what you would have done there. That makes so much more sense. You'd save a bunch of money there. And all right, cool.
Well, very good, Scott. We appreciate you sending in your self-titled Hand of the Week, W-E-A-K. We like when our listeners are honest up front. and keep on grinding away here in Florida until we get those better limits, Scott. But to help you out, until then, we will be sending you a wonderful deck of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from the good folks at GreatPokerHands.com. And once again, we thank Lee Childs for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Take it easy. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.